This is the last Sunday for this series. I told you in the beginning, it's kind of like sausages. You know, you see how they make sausages? They just keep coming out of the machine. You can cut them off any place you want to. That's what we're going to cut it off here today. We've been under the series of what works when life doesn't. Well, for many people, life doesn't work that well. And there are lots of struggles and lots of problems. And so that's the series title. The sermon title is What to Do When Enemies Abound. What to do when enemies abound. And I'm reading just part of Psalm 91. I can't think of a better verse if I've been traveling through the book of Psalms. And there's so much more. We could go for actually weeks and weeks and months, I suppose, because there's 150 Psalms and many, many verses. But Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him do I trust. Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for Calvary's victory. We thank you for your defeat over the principalities and the powers. And we thank you, Lord, that even as we speak of the enemy here today, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, our protection over us on this subject. And so we thank you and praise you, Lord. Make this real to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject of revival and the subject of renewal. Whenever you speak along those lines, as we begin to focus along those lines, as we begin to sing along those lines of the Holy Spirit, as we begin to pray for renewal and revival in our church, it's a great threat to the kingdom of darkness. Always has been, always will. If you want to have the enemy stirred up, talk about where God is blessing the church and where he wants to take it. You see, the devil knows that a revived and a Holy Spirit-empowered church, would that not be our longing as a group of people? Right, is that we would say, thank the Lord for what he's doing, that this is now a revived and a Holy Spirit-empowered church. That we say, wow, we don't know what's going to happen on a Sunday. We're just not quite sure because the Spirit of God shows up and that person comes to know the Lord and that one is healed and that one is touched and that one is renewed and you know, just God did a wonderful work in their life. Well, when that happens, the devil knows that it will glorify God, and therefore he doesn't want that. He knows that it will energize and renew God's people for holy living, and he knows that it will produce an explosive worldwide outreach of salvation among the lost. So those things, and I don't think I've even got them in your notes, but it's just from my heart, that glorifying God, energizing God's people for holy living, an explosive worldwide outreach of salvation among the lost. Wow, that would be something that the enemy would want to stop at all costs. Don't let that happen. I'm sure that's his cry. And so the battle begins. The forces of darkness begin to come against us on every level, so that for one particular reason, so that we will lose interest in a revived and renewed church. It'll just become, oh, it's too much work. Yeah, it'd be nice. But, And we just kind of fades away. And the mission, of course, of the enemy is then accomplished. Did you know that the word enemy or enemies, plural, it appears more than 100 times in the book of Psalms? Over 100 times, the enemy or enemies, over and over again. And so for all of us, if you take growth seriously, if you take consecration seriously, if you take a desire to be filled in a greater way by the Holy Spirit, your enemies will abound. If you want a soft, easy church and an easy Christian life, do nothing. And you'll get what you wanted out of that, nothing. Nothing will happen. Nothing will be, it won't happen. It's just nothing. But who can live like that? Who could live? Nobody can live like that if they're honest with themselves. And so we are aware that when we take a step towards the Lord's ways and the Lord's plans, that there's going to be some feedback from that. There's going to be reaction back from the enemy. But the Lord has not left his people defenseless against Satan, as he's also called, or his kingdom of darkness. So Psalm 91 is the Old Testament foundational scripture linked to Ephesians 6. It's the equivalent. Ephesians 6 is about the armor of God. Psalm 91 is the Old Testament version of that. And it begins, Psalm 91 begins by describing one who rests in a shadow. What shadow is that? That's the shadow of the Almighty. We have a provision by the Lord. When darkness comes against us, oh, and it does. Although sometimes God's people don't recognize what it is. They'll say, you know, I feel really discouraged, or I feel really this, or I feel really that, and it didn't feel like coming to church, so I didn't come. And the midweek, I was going to go to my small group, but I didn't go. And they think that it's them. I've often told people, my vantage view is I'm a little higher than people sit down there, so I get to see cars parking as they arrive to church. It's what I call the four-door slam. And you see a car pull up, slam, 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 and everybody's walking like this and their head's down. And you know it's not going well for that family. And so I've said that to somebody. I said, well, you should pray about that. They say, well, we have a fight every Sunday in the car. I said, well, what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? No, we don't have any problems then. I said, I didn't think you did. He said, do you know that that's what there is? There is an enemy. There is a force that wants you to be out of sorts by the time you get in your seat. And you can't even enjoy the service for 40 minutes of it, right? Because finally everybody feels okay. I said, we're aware of that. They said, oh, yeah, well. I said, no, it is the problem. I said, there is a force. See, if you don't recognize there's a force against your marriage, you will soon be in trouble. If you don't recognize there's a force against Sunday morning attendance and small group, you know, and kind of just unhappiness in these things, you will be deceived and you will be robbed. He's a robber. And so he robs you. And of course, we're kind of blind to it. You know, we're just kind of, oh, I don't know what's going on. I'm just sort of confused. Of course you are, because you have not acknowledged, and I have many times not acknowledged what is actually happening. So in the development of this psalm, we encounter a fowler. Now, a fowler was someone who captured birds. And they were very cruel. Actually, it was quite disturbing when I read this. Because what the fowler would do, he would snare these birds and sell them, especially songbirds. But what he would do, they'd capture the bird, they would sew the eyelids shut. So that bird was perpetually distressed and would make cries out, and then all the other birds would come to the distress. And they would be captured and sold. That's the picture. My soul, and we'll come back to it from Psalm 124. My soul has escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, right? And we're rejoicing. Our help is in the name of the Lord. So the fowler is Satan, or the devil, who has plans to ensnare God's people and do his deadly work against them. And especially if he can keep it below radar, so that they don't realize what is happening. So the psalmist introduces us to God. He focuses us on four different Old Testament names. And I am so blessed by this. I had a lot of fun going over this. And actually, I was kind of humming it and singing it so I could see if I could remember it longer. But first of all, the shelter of the Most High. That particular word, It's interpreted as Elyon, high and lifted up. We dwell here in the provided shelter of the Most High. So he says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, Elyon, that's his name, Elyon. And the Most High, Elyon, the highest of all the highs. And when we seek to understand his highness, right? His highness, that he's even higher than that. He's the, and you see it over in Scripture, he's the most high. Most high God. Of all the gods that there, because there are hierarchies, right? There's a demonic hierarchy of principalities and powers, and it's staggered. And we've all had battles on various levels of that, I'm sure. But however high and exalted position the enemy takes, there is a most high God. I thought, oh, what? How wonderful and how beautiful is that? He is the sovereign rule of all the universe. And that's the Hebrew word that the Lord gives us, the psalmist gives us, that he's the most high God. Elyon, in his total sovereignty, rules over the affairs of humanity, and he rules over the affairs of the nations. He's the one who has final and total control over everything. And you might want to turn, if you would, to the book of Daniel. Let me just flip over to that, Daniel chapter 4, just so you see how it's used. Verse 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. Oh, doesn't it? How many times, if we would only lift our eyes to heaven, our reason would return to us. And I blessed the Most High. Most High, Elyon. I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven. Most High, Elyon. I thought, oh, that's so good, so encouraging. Secondly, there is a resting or an abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, different Hebrew word. It's Shaddai, or the compound of that is El Shaddai. It's the second Hebrew name for God. God's almighty power. The shadow of the Almighty. I can remember my father and his drinking friends and others would fill our place with darkness, really. And you'd hear, and there'd somebody get mad and say, God Almighty, what the blank, blank. But I remember even when I didn't even know Jesus, that when people said God Almighty, that they had moved that up a bit. You know what I'm saying? Is I just knew that there was something, even as a kid, I knew there was something wrong with that, that it was more that they were saying something that should not have been said. But God's almighty power is infinitely beyond all other power. Not just he says, I'm the high one, but I'm also the powerful one. So the devil's power is immense, and it is, and it's frightening. It's frightening. If you ever have an encounter with the forces of darkness, it's not a thing where you are bragging what you're going to do. It's a frightening thing. Something the enemy has a way of kind of blowing himself up, so it's kind of, and I know about that, and to overwhelm us and to frighten us with his power. But the devil, although the devil's power is immense, and I say immense, but it shrinks to nothingness when compared to Shaddai's power. The devil and his angels will ultimately face Shaddai's power, which will cast them into the lake of fire. That ultimate power will rule over Shaddai's power, and there will be a great, wonderful victory that's won. So Shaddai provides a protective covering. This is the joy. That's why it's said. It's not just that he's high up, but that he rules and he reigns. And he brings us. Shaddai always stands between you and myself and the fowler. That's what he does. He always stands between us and the fowler and all of his destructive schemes. And so whatever the fowler brings against me to ensnare me, he stands in that gap. And I'm so grateful for that power that he's able to do that. So this protection is so thorough and so almighty that we need never fear if you understand the name that's been given to us. Not just Elyon, but El Shaddai, the all-powerful one who stands between me and the fearful prince of darkness and all of his demons. Nothing can compare to this God. This is powerful in every way. He shares with us the compound form of his wonderful name, because these are all wonderful names. He's El Shaddai, God Almighty, the all-sufficient one for whatever I would need. So that's the second name. The third name, my refuge and my fortress. What is that? Jehovah. Jehovah, from the Hebrew word hava, which means to be. To be. He is the I am one. And if you'll turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. It's really a worthwhile looking at this closely. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 13, when Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, Ken, we're going to pray over that request for Israel today too. Don't let me forget that. If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what's his name? There's many gods, right? What's his name? What's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the Lord, the God of your fathers. There it is. The Lord, now notice this, capital O, capital R, capital D. Whenever you see the word capitalized in your English Bible, you will know that that is Jehovah, Jehovah. The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and I will be remembered among all generations. Drop down. Maybe I will cut it off there because it changes the topic. But the Lord, capital O, capital O, capital O, the God of our fathers has appeared. That's whose authority I've come in, he says. So this self-existent God, now he doesn't call himself Elyon, and he doesn't call himself El Shaddai. He said, I am Jehovah. Just so you know, when you take this secret place that you're going, I am the self-sufficient one in all of my being. He is Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. He wants us to see him as the compassionate one, the one who is slow to anger, patient. Jehovah's shelter is my refuge and my fortress, according to Psalm 91, verse 2. Turn with me, if you would, again to Exodus chapter 14, because these are verses that I've picked out that to me so describe so accurately what we're trying to say here today. So verse 13, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, capital O, capital R, capital D, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord, what is that? Jehovah, will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. The Lord, the next verse is capital, capital, capital D. So it's Jehovah again. Now, you'd say, well, what else would he ever want to include? Well, I don't know the reasons for it, but I do know that it's there. So the last one, the fourth name, he says, my God. He's not referring to Elyon. He's not referring to Shaddai. He's not referring to Jehovah. He's referring to the one who made the world. My God in whom I trust, Elohim. And so Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, Elohim, made the heavens and the earth. Elohim, our God in whom we trust. You have to turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy because it's so powerfully liberating. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Listen, hear, O Israel, the Lord, notice, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord, our Elohim, our God, the Lord, capital L, capital R, capital D, is one. So he's our God, our Lord. He's one. And that's presented to us. And so what has this got to do with? It has to do with another dimension. Now, these are not four gods. Unless I should say this. This is not four gods are looking after us. This is one God who tells us what he's like. So he uses these names so that we get a picture of his power and of his strength. It's Elyon, and we say, wow, the high, nothing higher. Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, nothing stronger. Jehovah, nothing. This is the name that I will always, my name will never change. I am Jehovah God. And we marvel at it. And then he said, I'm Elohim. I'm the one who made it all. And by the way, whatever we might say about the devil, remember this, it's the Lord's devil. It's the Lord's devil. That's how he appeared. He became because God made him. And then he turned evil. And now he becomes our enemy. Turn with me to Psalm 124. Psalm 124, just a beautiful, beautiful passage that I wish we could talk about each verse. We could just break into little groups right here and just talk about it. Let me read it. I already quoted it, but let me read it. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. By the way, it must have been about the 80s, maybe the 70s. We were singing this. How many remember singing this psalm? Oh, good. You and me, Lily, that's good. That's perfect. Such a popular song. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. What? Through the resurrection power of Jesus, really. And we have escaped our help as enemies come against us, as discouragements come against us. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's the one. And I thought, well, thank you, Lord, for Psalm 124. How beautiful is that? So we're dealing with the protected, comforting hiding place. He says, this is he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Okay, we say, yes, yes. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Yes. And I will say of the Lord, he's my fortress and my refuge, my God, in him do I put my trust. The fowler of Psalm 91, if you go back to Psalm 91, when he comes against us, you have to know your position and who you belong to. He's bent on capturing human beings. And our job is freeing human beings. His job is capturing them. So he says, surely he will save you. And so the one who saves us is the God of his names. Right? The God of his names. Elyon, Shaddai, Jehovah, Elohim. He will cover you with his feathers. His faithfulness. Now, sometimes people say, what is he? Is he like a large chicken? He's got feathers? No, this is not literal. It's a picture as a hen would bring her wings under and around the little chicks. That's a picture of us. His faithfulness will be our shield and our rampart. And he will cover us with his feathers, with his wings. We're protected. So our protector is the God of these transcendent names, Elyon, Shaddai, Jehovah, and Elohim. And so many times when I've been with people and they, you know, we just got talking and said, you know, I have felt really oppressed of late. Said, I just feel I've kind of lost my spark and lost my joy. And we'll get talking a little. And I said, I think that the fowler is paying a visit here. And this person feels just kind of a heaviness. And it's not from lack of sleep or from not eating properly or anything. It's just they just feel oppressed. There's the word I was looking for, oppressed. So I remember praying a prayer that went like this. I wrote it down here for your sake. But Lord, you have declared your faithfulness to be our shield, refuge, our rampart. Lord, I deliberately hide myself. I deliberately hide myself and everyone targeted in this spiritual assault. I deliberately hide myself from evil powers. I deliberately hide myself behind my shield and my rampart. You see, many times it can be that Val is targeted by an oppressive spirit, by an enemy who would seek to cause her despair. Sometimes it's us as a couple that we say, we really appreciate your prayers. And again, we're not blaming the devil for everything. We're simply acknowledging that he exists and his power is real and that we need to know where the hiding place is and how that works. So anyone is targeted. So it could be the children. We say, you know, the children seem just to be, there's something been wrong here. And so we lock. I love this when you say, well, why don't we just pray about this? Let's just hide ourselves here for this moment. And because God has declared his faithfulness to be our shield. See, that's the power of this thing. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. And he will cover me with his, for he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Now, it might be just myself. He said, you know, here I am. I just feel, you know, we're talking about revival and renewal, and I feel really suppressed. I feel really oppressed. And I appreciate if you'd pray. And then if there was a number of us here, there, we would lock our shields together. Click, 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 all the way around. Lock our shields. And as we come under the hiding place of the Lord, we say, Lord, hide us from the target. We are targets here. Hide us, Lord, in your secret place where no evil, no powers can touch us. Hide us and protect us from this spiritual storm. There are spiritual storms. And we'd be amiss to do a series on Psalms, on the book of Psalms, without talking about these type of things with a spiritual storm. Where we say, Lord, we ask this as we hide ourselves, not having any strength of our own. None. We don't come boldly out against the enemy. We hide ourselves first. And then we say, this we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know how the enemy will attack. He'll attack your children. If he can't attack your children, he'll attack somebody else. And he's always on attack. But he waits. He crouches. And then he pounces wherever he can. Sometimes it's obvious, but other times it's not so obvious. And I think he seems to like it where it's kind of half hidden. We're not sure really what it is, right? Is it just myself? Is it, you know, who knows what it is? Am I not getting enough exercise? Am I watching too much TV? There's lots of things that it could be besides the enemy. But when we determine that there is a spiritual storm going on and that there are ourselves and others are targeted in this spiritual assault, that's when we begin to pray together and we lock our shields together. And then we get direction from the Lord as to how the enemy should be dealt with so we would rob his house and steal his goods, as he told us about. So he has many, many, many oppressive tactics. What kind of tactics? Well, the Lord in the scriptures gives us a protection. You will not. Oh, and by the way, the battle always involves the will of a person. My will is crucial to this. And so in Psalm 91, you will not fear the terror of night. You will not fear. I need to decide that. I need to declare that. Somebody here this morning needs to declare that. I will not fear the terror of night. I will not. See, Satan majors in fear tactics. And so many times, if maybe not every time, this battle involves the will of a person. But they haven't exercised their will. Therefore, they're defeated over and over again. You will not fear. Well, I'm not sure. Oh, no, no, I'm saying it. I'm declaring it. I'm standing on it. I will not fear. That's the position that we take. I will not fear because. Now, why will I not be afraid? Because I am afraid. Why would I say I'm not afraid when I am afraid? Aren't I a hypocrite? No. Oh, maybe you're a hypocrite to emotion, but you're not a hypocrite to truth. You see, when we say, in Jesus' name, I will not fear, whether it's the middle of the night or whether it's something that else is that has been attacking me, it does nothing to do with how I feel. You say, oh, I'm kind of scared. Well, maybe we all are, but that's not the declaration. It's not, I feel scared. That's not the declaration. The declaration, I will not fear. But there's a reason. You will not fear because your faith rests in the one whose names are Elyon, El Shaddai, Jehovah, and Elohim. I will not fear because of those four names linked to mine. It's not that I won't fear, I won't fear, I won't fear. I'm getting better, I won't fear, I won't fear. I know I can. No. It's Lord, thank you. And by the way, remember when we used to sing this verse too? We sang this till we were hoarse. And we danced to it even. We were leaping and praising the Lord. I've been in meetings like that where we were just declaring the goodness of the Lord. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Most High. And I will say of the Lord. Have you said it? Probably not. Many believers haven't said it all, but the psalmist got raised. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. I think the devil needs to hear you say that. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Yes, amen, for sure. So it doesn't matter. Those four names of the Lord, he's given those for a purpose. One would have been sufficient. Elohim would have been sufficient. Jehovah would have been sufficient. He said, I want you to know when you dwell in me, that's who you're dwelling in. That's your protection. That's your guide. That's your direction. Everything is there. So it doesn't matter whether there's horrific nightmares or ghostly apparitions or fearful sounds or physical sensations or accusations or discouragements and despair. We fling ourselves and say, I'm dwelling in the secret place. And I will not fear the terror of night. And he goes on. It's not just, I will not fear the terror of night. I will not, secondly, you will not fear the arrow that flies by day. Now, we all know that things that go bump in the night, terrifying things, really, is awful things. I probably could frighten you here if I told you things. But that's how it was. And I was aware, and I've been aware, that the enemy knows where you live. And so I just find that I pray over my house and I pray over my bedroom and I pray. Why? Because I'm aware that I'm not alone, that there's dark forces as well that would seek to throw me off, throw you off. So we will not fear the arrows that fly by night. The terrors of night. Boy, don't you love your Bible? 3,000 years later, we're reading a text. Can you imagine how many saints down through the years have prayed Psalm 91? There must be millions and billions. When David wrote it, other people quoted it, stood on it, sang about it, didn't many times we've done, because, and here it is again, just in case you were worried about that the night wouldn't be enough, because you see, many times for many people, that is, it's a frightening time for them. There may be reasons for that. But you will not fear, you will not fear the arrow that flies by day, or the terror of night, but that arrow that flies by day, Ephesians 6:16, if you just keep this in the back of your mind, what does it talk about? The arrows, right? To stop all the fiery darts of the enemy. And so we put on the armor of the Lord and we hide ourselves in the Lord. So you will not fear the terror by night. You will not fear the arrow that flies by day. So it's a noon hour attack. How many think that? How many know that the devil doesn't wait till it's, oh, is it? I only can attack at noon hour. Attack morning, noon, or night if he wants to. So we will not fear the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. The devil is a stalker. He stalks you. He stalks me. And the word is, you will not fear. Wow. The plague. Oh, the plague. The plague that destroys at midday. You will not fear. Because you're hiding in the secret place. You need to. That's why you need to memorize, especially the first few verses of that. You need to memorize that. I need to memorize. I have memorized that. That's what we need to do. But the plagues that destroy at midday, pestilence, arrows, plagues, yes, morning, noon, and night. And those of us that are seasoned in these things, we know this to be true, that emotionally we come under the bombardment of the enemy, the pounding of the enemy. Emotionally, psychologically. Oh, yeah, psychologically. Ceaseless, around the clock, assaults. What, to do us evil? To ensnare us? Because this world is the home of the prince of darkness. And there are two kingdoms always battling. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And we need to always be conscious of that. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. That we're in a major conflict. And the world is led by the prince of this world. And the kingdom of God is led by Jesus Christ and his people. And the major, the white horse, the stallion, shall appear soon. And we will come riding with him. That's the victory that we have. That's the joy we have. That's the power that we have. It's already done for us. And we just wait for that. But in the meanwhile, major conflicts going on. The battle, the victory of righteousness is sure, isn't it? It's sure, but the battle is very real. The victory is sure, but the battle is very real. And so when you come further into the text, notice what it says. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side. And I've marveled, I've pondered over this. Not quite sure if I've got the full picture of it, but I got something. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. That's a lot of people falling at your right hand. But it will not come near you. Now my question is, who are the thousands and who are the 10,000 at our right hand? Could it be that the fallen victims, it really represents the fallen victims of the fowler. 1,000 went down here. 10,000 went down here. And we lost some, right? The enemy ensnared them. They represent the wounded. They represent the hurting. They represent the deceived, the victims. They represent fallen victims, victims of the fowler. And that makes sense to me because there's just so many of them. But isn't that how we see that? We say, more the darkness spreads and that, and we see that the enemy has deceived and has sewn the eyelid shut. Just like a fowler. Sewing the eyelid shut so you're distressed. But more and more, in that case, more and more birds would gather because of the distress sounds. And they'd all be captured. And here we are just aware of that battle that goes on. But with that, because you've made... Now, verse 9, track with me on this. I've underlined it almost too many times. I'm losing sight of it here. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling... No. Get it again. Because you've made the Lord your dwelling place. I'm assuming that you have. I hope you have. I trust you have. Because you made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High... Oh, yes, of course. Elyon. The Most High, who's my refuge? Because I've done that, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plagues come near your tent. Remember some months ago, maybe it was a couple of years ago, I spoke on angels in your tent from this passage. Because of that, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, over the four corners of your house, over the four corners of your bed. And I've had good reason to do that. I believe that's it's a good thing to pray that, the angels to come and to protect us. But because you've made him your... Well, let me put a few things together here. Drop down. Verse 14. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. This is the Lord. I will protect him. Why? Because he knows my name. When he calls to me, yes, I will answer him. Imagine you're bombarded and beaten down, and it's like a hailstorm in your life, and there's things hitting you, and you're in the shelter of the Lord. But when he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. What a promise. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a powerful thing. I've called these, this is the fruit of making God your dwelling place. Maybe other people would mock this. Maybe other people would say, aren't you overstating this? Demons and devils and... And, well, not if you've been around, right? Not if you've been around. But you can't go back now because all the benefits, right? There's so many benefits of this. God's care all day long from Psalm 91, from verse 9 right through to verse 16. Benefits. Because he's made me the dwelling place, because he knows me and honors me and loves me, I will do this. God's care all day long. And we finally come, and I'm zipping out of Psalm 91 just to go to Psalm 92 and verse 2. Said to declare, it's good, verse 92:1, it's good to give thanks to the Lord. It is good, isn't it? It's very good. To sing praises to your name, here it is again, Most High, highest of high. Elyon, highest of high. To declare, it's a good thing to sing praises to your name, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Wow. What is he trying to say? He said, loving kindness every morning. Every morning. Every morning. You're... unbelievable love and kindness. Not some mornings, every morning. Thank you for your love and protection. And thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. At the end of the day, when it's all gone through, so how do you start your day giving thanks for his love. You end your day by thanking him for his faithfulness. Isn't that a simple thing? Isn't it so powerful, though? Every morning we get up, Lord, thank you for your love, your steadfast love and faith. We're grateful for it. And we're also so grateful at the end of the day, wow, made it through. Didn't know if I was going to make it through. Tough day, hard day, warfare day, strong day against me. You've all had those. Say, I really was. Boy, I was just under the gun. How many have you ever had a time? I know you have. Actually, I don't know why I ask it as a question, but have you ever had a time when you got up and you for whatever reason you're running late and you missed your devotions, you missed your prayer time, you missed your prayer time, your reading time. And now you're running behind the rest of the day. And it seems that if anything could go wrong, it goes wrong. And at the end of the day, I have often said, Lord, I thank you for your loving kindness, and I thank you for your faithfulness to me. But I am not leaving the house this morning without spending some time in your presence. Because without those protections and those deliberations where we hear, I will not be afraid. I will not fear. See, if you don't do that, you're running behind. Listen to the rage. It just doesn't work. There's something about, and not to mean anything legalism on this thing, but just the importance of it, really. That, God, I don't want to go out. There's arrows flying in every direction. There's war going on around me morning, noon, and night. And I'm just glad I made it through. I made it through the day. I praise you for your faithfulness. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up a little earlier. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to spend time with you because I'm aware that there are great forces underfoot that affect us and attack us. And we simply rush to the hiding place, to the secret place of the Most High, of El Shaddai, of Jehovah, of Elohim. He says his four transcendent names. That's why we're not to be afraid. If there was no names, you'd have a reason. There are four names why you need not be afraid. And don't be afraid to speak authoritatively to the enemy if he's encroaching. Especially in the unity of the Spirit, we come together and we know someone's been under great oppression, and we pray that God would deliver them, and that they would. You see, you got to be deliberate. I will say of the Lord. Well, I find myself saying that all day long. I'll say of the Lord, my refuge, my fortress. I will say of the Lord. Say it, right? Say it. You say, well, yeah, that's really true. No, we didn't ask you if it's true. We asked you to say it. In other words, make it your confidence. Make it your declaration. Don't be wishy-washy on these things. Stamp your feet. Clap your hand on this thing. And there's just something about even declaring, yes, 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 I thank you. The hiding place, the secret place. Amen. I know that I know that because I spoke on this, it'll now be tested. But that's okay. Because it's God's eternal word. And the best of the best saints in the world understood what I just was stumbling through here. You're in good stead. Don't you be afraid of anything. The Lord is with you and guiding you and directing you. Morning, noon, and night, arrows, pestilence, plagues, it doesn't matter. He said, it will not come here in your dwelling. That doesn't mean there's not testings in our life, that there's moments that we look to the Lord and we wonder what the Lord's up to. But this is the safety of where we come from. So, Ken, would you come up? Because we're talking about the God of Israel, he just reminded me about the occasion today. So give us what the biblical background is, and then we're going to get you to lead us in a prayer. Stand. It has to do with Esther.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Owen.
No, it's good.
Great word on Psalm 91 there. Just to speak to that, I was in Israel back in the... sorry, my name's Ken, for those who don't know me.
Sorry.
But I was in Israel back in 2002 during the Second Intifada when there was a big uprising and stuff, and there were bombs going off. You might have remembered suicide bombers, buses blown up, and it was happening all around me, and I just grabbed onto that psalm and really claimed it and hung on to it.
Yes.
And I just felt God's peace, and I rode the buses, and I walked around the markets, and I just had this peace, and nothing happened to me. So, and I just had a peace about it, so it really does work. So I just encourage you to really press into that. Mm. And I just want to draw our attention to today on God's calendar, the biblical calendar. It's the 14th day of the month of Adar, which Jewish people today in Israel and around the world, they recognize and celebrate Queen Esther and what happened with her in the book of Esther, and how God chose her for such a time as this to risk her life and come before the king at that time and plead for the lives of the Jewish people who were decreed to be slaughtered in the whole kingdom at that time. And so she did this, risked her life, and we know the story that their lives were all spared. You can read about it in the book of Esther, and I encourage you all to read it if you're not familiar with it. But so today, Jews all over the world recognize today, they celebrate, they dress up in costumes, they have a big feast and party and celebration. And I was in Israel for this festival, and it was a really amazing time. So I just wanted to draw our attention to that's actually today. And I just wanted to pray for them. And before we pray for them, I just wanted to read a quick scripture here from Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning at verse 35. And again, one of the names for God is the Holy One of Israel as well.
Yes, yes.
It says, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord." So I'll get worried when I don't see the sun, moon, and stars anymore. And if they can ever measure space, I'll also get worried.
Yes.
But it hasn't happened. I don't think it ever will. So we can thank God that he does indeed, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps, and he also watches over us. So please join me in just praying here. Heavenly Father, Lord God of Israel, Holy One of Israel,
yes,
we just come before you, Lord, today, and we join our hearts with Jewish people around the world, Lord, who are celebrating this festival of Purim. And God, we just lift them up to you. We just pray your protection upon them,
yes,
as there are forces in the world today, Lord, who seek to annihilate your chosen people. We think of Ahmadinejad in Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas and forces all over the world, Lord, that seek to destroy and tear down and kill the Jewish people. And Lord, we just stand with them this morning and pray your hand of protection over them physically, spiritually, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
That you would be their Most High and your shelter.
Praise you, Lord.
And bless them and protect them.
Yes.
And we pray for their salvation, Lord, as Paul said, wrote that, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." We pray for their salvation, that they'd come to you, Jesus. And so bless them today, wherever they may be, Lord. And just quicken our hearts to pray, keep them in our prayers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.